I'll call the meeting to order. Irene, could you determine a quorum?
Yes, Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Mara Lutonski.
Here.
Cheryl Pyle.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
All four of us are here. We'll have rise to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any, additions to the agenda? Okay. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve November 8th, 2016's agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Number 5, we had a student presentation. Mary Ellen Anderson and the elementary students were here before the meeting started, and that's why we're late. We were having way too much fun learning how to code and having the children show us how, but she's going to let the listening audience kind of fill them in on what we were having fun with earlier.
Okay, yeah, I brought over 9 iPads and some Osmo base stations, is what they're called, Osmo, and they interact via a mirror and a base station with the iPad and reflect what's going on the tabletop. And there are different activities. The most popular, most recent one is the coding, like you mentioned, and it's a really fun game, very addicting. The kids love it, and yet it teaches them the real basics of coding. It's not obvious, I think, to them what they're learning. And then my favorite is the tangrams, because I love the geometrical shapes and putting them in, and it gets progressively more and more difficult. So you have all varying levels of play on all of these games. Another one is a two-person game where they have to figure out what the picture is and spell the letters as fast as they can, or spell the word as fast as they can. Another one is a math interactive. It starts off with dice, and they have to add the dice to match the number, and bubbles fall and break. And then eventually it gets into addition. And the spelling one, the word one, teachers can upload their own words, so they could use it with a spelling list from class or something, too. Then there's the drawing program, which it reflects off a piece of paper, and you draw using a projected image by staring at the screen. It's really difficult to do. It's not as easy as it sounds. And then the Newton, which is using angles when balls are dropping down to hit a target. And these get really difficult real fast. And you have to draw shapes or use objects to block the path of the balls and project them the direction you need them to go. And then they put up barriers in the way, so it gets harder and harder as it goes. So anyway, we have been having kids come in. Last year I started having them come in a half hour early if they wanted, before school, and just free to use whatever technology or read or whatever they want to do in the library in the morning. Especially on lousy days, we get quite a few kids in there, and some are reading, and some are playing with the Osmos, and some are listening to stories on tape, and this is one of the activities we do for that. So we're continuing it this year. It's a real popular program. And I hope everybody had fun. I think everybody got a chance to play with each of the different ones. The newest one is Pizza Shop. It just came out a couple days ago, and it's an entrepreneurial, teaching kids how to buy and sell and earn money. And so I'm intrigued by that one. So I might invest in another one of those. Give them a try. Yeah. So anyway, thanks for having fun. And we'll pack it up real quiet. Oh, right. I have Sean and Maria Toth here helping demonstrate. They are my resident experts. They're there first thing in the morning, every morning, ready to go. So anyway, thanks for having fun.
Thank you for coming in. And thanks to the kids that came in as well to teach us.
I have Sean and Maria Toth here helping demonstrate. They are my resident experts. They're there first thing in the morning, every morning,
oh,
ready to go. Nice.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll move on to student representative report, Casey Evans.
All right. Well, a lot been going on recently. There's been the regionals for music just happened, and we had quite a few kids go to that. Coming up is the state for music. We have a few kids going, and they're getting ready for that. Swimmers just wrapped up the season. We had three kids go to state, Isabel, Eth, Ben Higgins, and Van Abbott, and they did pretty well. And the state meet was in Juneau this year, so it was really easy to travel. We've selected the Rotary exchange student for next year, which is going to be Holly Davis, and Claire Beyer is going to be the short-term Rotary exchange student for this summer. Poetry Out Loud is starting to get exciting. We're in English, we're all working on getting our poems, memorizing them, and doing a little bit of work with those. The MacTech program is getting pretty fun. We're having Spiros, which are little remote controlled kind of baseballs, I guess, that you can control with an iPad, and you can also program them to do what you want. And at the same time, we're doing these things called Nano Mouse, which is, we have a Arduino board, which is just a blank circuit board that we program. And we assemble a little car, I guess, and me and Britton built a maze that we're going to try and get those to go through. So that's starting to get exciting. Close Up is doing the $100 cash raffle. That's just started yesterday. Drawings are going to be on December 1st, and only 200 tickets are being sold, so I think they're going to go pretty quickly. And the canned food drive is coming up on this Thursday, November 10th, and it's going to run through to November 22nd.
How does that work? Do the classes compete against each other?
Yeah, I believe so.
Cool. Any questions for Casey? Thank you. Okay, correspondence. We have received so far one letter of interest in being up for the vacancy on the board, and that will still remain open until the 10th of November. So that's coming up. Some of us are headed up to the school board conference on Friday, or it starts actually, I guess, on Wednesday. But some of us will be leaving on Wednesday, some on Thursday. So if you are still interested, you can still drop off a letter of interest at the district office or email it to Irene Littleton. Give her a call and get the email address. So. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Comments from the audience related to agenda items. Okay, comments from the board. Okay. We'll move on then. Move on to the consent agenda, which includes October report, bills, payroll, and electronic fund transfers in the amount of $702,970.84. Our minutes, as well as extra duty contracts for Chris Akata and Jill Lenhart. So I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Yes. Jane Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lukonski?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Cheryl
Pyle? Yes. Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, we'll move on to administrative reports. First, superintendent report, Erica Klute-Painter.
Okay, thank you. Lots going on. We had a great in-service last week. I'll let Mr. Dormer and Mrs. Tolan talk more about what was happening in each building, but lots of work accomplished during those in-service days, so we're always really grateful to have that time. Lots of committee work gearing up. The policy committee met last week. Laura and Cheryl are on that committee. We spent some time going through AASB updates. We still have some more of those to do. They just keep coming out. In fact, some of them actually are updates to the updates that we already did, which is interesting. And spent quite a bit of time talking about meal charging policy, which is a new federal requirement that we have to have in place by July 1st, 2017. So we're working through some language for that, and in the meantime, also starting to do more communication, regular communication with families about outstanding charges, that sort of thing, and helping people get signed on to Power School, and hopefully helping people kind kind of get ahead of the whole meal charging issue. We've had good feedback from people who appreciate the communication. Some people just don't know exactly what's going on with their kids sometimes at lunchtime, so we're working on that. And we have such great food. That's why they want to eat. Also gearing up for emergency planning meeting. We've been waiting to schedule a full-scale evacuation drill because we've been wanting to have our school dex program updated on all of the staff phones. Teachers have a way of taking roll on them, and we've had some glitches with the program, so we want to wait till that's ready to go before we do the full drill so we can actually practice that. So we're going to do that, and then we will schedule the crisis response committee meeting as well, which has the community members and emergency planning members from the community as well. So hopefully in the next month that will happen. A lot of work going on. We're getting closer and closer on getting an RFP out for the hosted voice over IP. We've been working with testing some new phones in the district, and definitely time to get that system replaced. So we're getting more and more excited about that option. So RFP will go out soon, and we'll hopefully have some decent quotes for that, and then get a committee together for that too, to do some selection. And that's a capital project that's already been, money's already been set aside for that. Let's see, what else is going on? I don't think much else for me right now. Looking forward to the ASB conference. Spent some time in a short conference call today with the commissioner about testing. Still moving forward with that, and Bridget Woodstock's here tonight too, and we can address that a little later about where we are with state assessment. It's moving forward, so I think that's about it for me.
Thank you. Next we'll move on to principal reports. First, Principal Tolan.
Well, good evening. It's great to be here. We had a fun little surprise in the school this afternoon. Christina Sargent had bought some paperwhite narcissus to pot up and sell for the school garden at Christmas time. And she was expecting about 10 students to show up, and there were over 20. So it was fun to have that participation this afternoon. I need to thank the fire department for coming and talking to the kids on Fire Prevention Week. It's always a highlight for kids to see the firemen come in, and good information. We went to the principal's conference. It was very beneficial. Enjoyed a day of learning about ESSA, Every Student Succeeds Act, and how it affects us, and talking about some testing, or the state testing that will be coming up. It was very motivational and good to talk to other principals and see what's happening in their schools and districts, and I appreciate the opportunity to go. We did have our in-service. It was very productive. Elementary teachers spent most of their time on science curriculum, and we are nearly completed, which is fantastic. A huge thanks goes out to Dan Sullivan and Becky Martin for laying the groundwork for what we did, and for Becky for leading during the in-service and making, we just made some very good progress in that. So happy about what we got done there. We did participate in an ed camp, which some of the administrators have experienced. It's where you let participants direct where they want their conversations to go, and then they research and take notes. And I think teachers really appreciated being able to branch off and talk about topics that were important to them. Coming up, we do have the Veterans Day Assembly coming up on Friday at 9:30, and I'm sure Mr. Dormer can fill us in on some of those activities as well, but our student council from the elementary school will be participating in some little mini speeches. Also with our student council, we have a representative who is going to meet with the PI organization, the Partners in Education, so we're happy to have them. And they are planning to have a canned food drive at some time. Not sure whether it's going to be connected with our reading celebration in the spring or Christmas they're still talking about that. But we do have a Partners in Education meeting tomorrow at 4:30 at the school library. I invite all family members to come. We're just looking for more people to give us new ideas and support. Very excited about any progress we can make in that area. And one thing coming up is conferences, and we have switched from having conferences on Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, evening, and Wednesday morning. Teachers have decided to try a Monday evening, Tuesday afternoon, and evening, basically switching out the morning of Wednesday for the evening of Monday, to see if that helps families. And it'll be a challenge because they have to come from conferences to a full day of work the next day. And so we'll see how it works. So when people see their conference slips coming home, yes, it is Monday evening and Tuesday evening. So, okay, thank you.
And I probably should use it again, but it's
going like there. Good evening. Hi. Yeah, busy times. Things are going along well. As Principal Tolan said, we were able to go to the principal's conference, which is great. Always look forward to doing that every year. And again, one of my better ones, I thought, as far as all my sessions, I thought were really powerful. Not that we really have a waste one. Sometimes you get in one and think, I don't know if this applies to me. And they really were some great ones. I double scheduled one. I didn't realize. I popped in and realized, I've already seen that one. It was a really exciting one from Seward High School. Has done some kind of alternative learning, some hybrid type of learning, and a lot of it distance delivered because they are a pretty powerful school like us. So it was pretty cool to talk with their principal and see some ideas they're doing just to try to fit try to get everybody the options they want to recognize. Some people are already starting to get careers in high school and trying to get kids credits. Just a lot, some really good ideas. It was some of the in-service time our teacher spent talking about scheduling. So it was cool to have a session like that. But I popped in and realized, oh, he was doing something similar, just under a different name. So I was able to go across the hall. And John Cedar, the district, he's not the district attorney, he's our school district lawyer that we consult with, was doing a session. And he is quite a character. He's very powerful, very intelligent. I know you've all spoken with him in different aspects, but that was fascinating, just his talk on law. And anyway, just really enjoyed that session. It was actually a mistake, but getting in there, you know, and then got to go over and listen to him. So really great. One on emotional learning, the middle school principals in Kodiak are fantastic people, really, really tech heavy. And he did get a really great session on really kind of teachers and administrators kind of disconnecting a little bit, just to kind of have your, I don't know if it's your personal life, but just give yourself a break and to stay energized. So when you are here with the kids, you can give your all. And then also when you are there dealing with some of the emotional stressors that students and helping them support. So some pretty cool stuff there. I was able to meet with the commissioner, which I always enjoy. He did one on rural schools. So that was pretty cool. He's just a great thinker. So it was nice to meet with him as the newer commissioner. It was my first time really spending time with him. Some great stuff. Really enjoyed it. And thank you again for the extra time. The first Saturday I have board meetings. I've been the Region 5 representative on the Secondary School Association Board. My term ended this time and I ran again. I was elected again. So thank you, Superintendent Klupainer, for supporting this. So I have another 3 years as that rep, which takes a little bit of time away from here, but it is, I believe it's valuable. It has allowed me to connect more with a lot of the Southeast principals, which has been, there's some great principals down here that are hard to talk to because they're all on different islands. So that's been pretty cool. Again, in-service was great. We spent a lot of time on curriculum. We spent a lot of time talking about school climate connectedness survey results, which was fun with the staff and a look. And a pretty cool idea. The staff had a couple of results that I wouldn't say troubling. They were things about students at my school feel that they are treated fairly by teachers, or the rules are fair. Or there was one about I feel respected, or I have certain adults I could connect with. So it wasn't anything real heavy like, you know, drugs or alcohol or abuse or anything like that. It was just the overall attitude. And teachers said, well, some of these are a little lower. And so we took some of them. We've given them back to the student council, the high school ASBNs, and ask them to put in their agenda for next Tuesday and talk to these student leaders, that group, and say, what do they mean to us? I don't expect them to come back and say, you know, well, I put this down because I'm sick of, you know, Mrs. Klupainer yelling at me. It's nothing going to be like that. You don't yell at the kids, Mrs. Klupainer. But it is interesting to say, you know, if 60% of you said you feel respected, so there's 40% that says you're not respected out of about 110 kids. Just explain that a little bit to us, because teachers are, you know, want to know more. So I really appreciate the staff's willingness to bring it back to the kids. That's what we're serving, and get some information. That was pretty cool. We spent a little time just talking about kids. We talked a lot about scheduling, a little bit about PBIS. We talked a little about the discipline side, but also reward side. So a great couple days, and we really appreciate that. set into the schedule. Teachers, I think, worked really hard, had a little bit of time to work on their own, a lot of time to connect, which is important for our teachers. What else to say here? We just recently had a financial aid night, and I want to bring this up. We do it once a year. It's changed a little bit this year, and I don't know if the school board knew. The FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. Is that right? Thank you. Has changed a little bit. It used to be kind of due on January 1st, and now they've moved it, and you can apply earlier. It has to do with taxes. You used to have your 2016 taxes done, and I never have my taxes done by 2016. I don't think that most people, by January 1st, I'm sorry for thinking about 2016 taxes. So they realized that was kind of an odd date, so they've moved it earlier, and you're allowed to use your previous year taxes now. And Mrs. Etcher explained this to me, and it made sense when she said it. But they've moved it, which was a big change. So we had a FAFSA night here, and the local people came by and talked to our local families, and we actually had kind of record numbers of people came out, which is really good. A lot of parents, a lot of kids coming in and get connected to go to college and get the application process. So that was great. I appreciate Ms. Etcher's time, and then also just our parents coming in and recognizing it's new this year and getting the help to really help kids get to college and be able to afford it. So that was fantastic. As Mrs. Tolan said, I do want to welcome everyone, parents, veterans, non-veterans, just community members, kids, everybody will be there. The district-wide 9:30 on Friday will be a great show, and it is district-wide. So as she said, elementary is presenting, middle school, student council. We've got some music going, although Mr. Lenhart is out of town. I heard that Mariah Taylor will be the guest conductor for the band, which will be fun, as the high school band performs. And then, of course, the high school kids speaking as well. So it's district-wide, and we encourage everyone to be there if they can. It should be a great day to honor our veterans. What else is happening? Oh, and it's the end of the quarter. That's the big news, is that we have finished the quarter here in Mikoff Middle School and Petersburg High School. It's been great. The middle school does a little bit of a fun day for a couple hours in the afternoon, and then we had the activity night last Friday, which went very well, and I appreciate all the middle school staff coming out supporting that. But kids had a good time, and then just today we had the middle school awards assembly, which is fun to recognize all the kids getting A's and B's and excelling in certain areas and, you know, in woods and medals and stuff, so pretty cool. That is my report. Any questions for me? Okay, thanks.
Now we move on to the activities director's report.
No. All right. Casey stole my thunder and said all the stuff, so any questions? No, just kidding. No, it was good. Our swimmers got back from regions. They had a good showing there. And like he said, we had three people qualify for state, Van, Ben, and Isabel, and by far one of the best live feeds for a swim state tournament I have seen in a very long time. So kudos to Juno Douglas and representing Region 5 well. The state tournaments come down to Southeast once every 3 years. So that's kind of the ASAP policy, that they keep it on the road system for three, and whoever bids for it, it'll get off the road system. And we get to hear everyone else's travel woes, and we say we do it every 3 years. So it was fun. But swim season has come to an end, and more activities coming up as we keep the kids as busy as we can. Volleyball will be heading to Skagway this weekend. Fantastic place. Hard to get to, but we'll get there. It's a wonderful place. And then wrestling will be heading to Metlakatla. So, and our middle school basketball team will be heading down to Craig, picking up some games with Schoenbar on the way down. Schoenbar is going to take care of us very well. They are also getting ready to feed us dinner and feed all of our kids while we're down there too. So we'll pick up games on Wednesday, have games during the school day Thursday. They're going to bring their entire school to watch Petersburg play us. So it'd be kind of fun for the kiddos down there too. So, Allstate Music, we have eight kids going to Allstate Music next week. Very impressive group of kids, and one of Matt Lenhart's highest numbers in recent memory of kids qualifying for state. And so very, very cool. And those kids have been working extremely hard with choir and music to get up to Allstate. So they will be leaving next week, Wednesday. And you get to watch it, you lucky guy. Yeah, I'm going up Thursday. So it'll be kind of fun. Very cool event. East and West Anchorage will be hosting those events. So very, very neat event for all those kids. And then Region Volleyball will be getting done here soon, in about 3 weeks. And then wrestling will be coming to an end. And then we move right into basketball and cheer. So it'll be busy, busy, busy as always. So questions? Oh, yes. And middle school robotics will be heading to Juneau for the regional / Southeast Conference competition. Our middle school robotics team and Joyce Metz has been doing a fantastic job with that crew. And they are really getting after it with the robotics pieces. And so they're going to show off in December. Yeah. So they're going to bring it, and I think it is right before they leave for their competition. So I think that, no, it's after. It's right after. So they're going to have it perfected, their presentation. So if you see little robots rolling around the high school and middle school commons after school, it is usually a robotics kid right behind it. And they have flashy lights, too, when they're rolling around, too. Kind of neat. So very, very cool to have that part of our program. And, yeah, that's it. They are doing a fundraiser this weekend. Yep, Lego Movie on Sunday at noon and 2 noon. Saturday. Did I say Sunday? Saturday at 2, not Sunday. Woo! Saturday at 2 now, not noon. Move it 2 hours. Cake! Yes, we have cake. Their AD there, Arthur, has been their AD off and on, and this is the first time that they have done a middle school program in 6 years. They have never had the numbers for it, and they finally have it, so they have been begging for anyone and anybody to come over so that the fans can kind of see their kids. So we've been working on this for a while, trying to see if it would work, and our kids miss absolutely no school on this. The ferry system works. It's perfect. So we will go there and entertain them, and they will take care of us, and they are super, super excited and forever grateful that we are going to go send some kids over there for them to play. So, and that is a sixth grade trip. Yep. And cheerleaders, because their cheerleaders are not going to Craig. So very, very cool. They are just ecstatic that they get to have a home weekend in who knows how long. So, yeah, for their middle school program. So I think they have about 7 kids on the girl side and about 8 on the boy side. So, yeah. And they'll be tired, and they get to come to school Monday when the ferry gets in too. So part of being a student athlete. So, yeah, but they're fired up. So, and Erica was going to chaperone, and she's not going to anymore. She's in the play. So, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it'll be fun. Any questions for me? None? Awesome, cool. Yeah, absolutely.
No report.
No report because we're talking later. Extensively. Okay. Director of Maintenance report.
Well, good evening. I know that we have a teleconference that we need to get to, so I'll be very, very brief. On Friday, after your board packet went out, the CIP rankings came out, and I slipped copies of those underneath all your papers there. And we can go through this pretty darn quick because we've gone through it a few times in the past. The first stapled document has 5 pages on it. It's the complete 106 applications that were submitted. I'm happy to report that we're in the top 2 pages. The lowest we went was number 33. The first question that might come to your mind is our brand new boiler came in at number 9. Why did it come in so low below number 2, the number 2 ranked item, which is our boiler that we put in 2015? I did a little quick research on the net before I came, and all the projects ahead of us had a lot of code and safety and emergency points attached to their applications, and I believe that's why ours got bumped down a lot lower than we were expecting. We were kind of expecting to come in right at 4, maybe even 3 if we were lucky. So I believe that's what happened there. Haven't had a chance to ask any hard questions of anyone on that particular situation, but I do believe that's a pretty sound assessment of what happened there. Just real quickly for the recording, our first boiler came in at number 2, as mentioned, that was in 2015. The boiler we put in the summer came in at number 9. Our food service project is ranked 14th in the state. The gym LED lighting upgrade from 2 years ago came in at 22. The concrete entry to the middle school came in at 29, and the underground fuel tank came in at 33. For the board, I've penciled some notes in the left margin. Basically shows where we were 2 years ago and where we were last year. You can see how it's progressed. In all cases, we've dropped a little bit, and that's to be expected because we went with the strategy where we reused our scores. So whatever scores we got when it was initially submitted to the state, we stuck with that. And that's usually a good strategy, especially if you have high-ranking projects. Maybe it's not so pertinent anymore that the legislature isn't helping us out with the funds, but that's the way we went with that. On the second item, basically shows all six of our projects. It's in a chart form here. It shows all the point totals. I've also included a summary of all the subjective scoring elements. Each column is described. If you want to take that home and look and see why we didn't get certain points in certain areas, I can just state categorically that we scored really well. We really did. And there's one minor thing that I will talk with Superintendent Klupainer about. It's our average expenditure on maintenance. I'll go into that real quick, and then I'll be done. It's a formula-driven element. It's highlighted in yellow. It's your fifth column over. You get 5 points. What they do is they're looking to find out if there's sufficient resources programmed into the budget to keep the district's facilities well-maintained. And what they do is they go to our audited let me just read this. It's a little quicker. They look at the 5-year average maintenance expenditure from audited financial statements. They compare that to the 5-year average insured replacement value from our audited financial statements. If we get a 4% ratio of maintenance expenditures to the replacement value, they give you your full 5 points. And just a quick thought of what that could possibly mean. It might mean from their standpoint, they're questioning whether the district is budgeting and or is the maintenance staff expending enough resources on overall maintenance. And that's the question that Superintendent Klupainer and I will probably have to explore in the upcoming year. But I don't think it's anything too detrimental because we seem to run a pretty good ship here. So, and that's the report in a nutshell.
Thank you. All right. Moving on, school board committee reports. Curriculum and technology we have not met, but it sounds like the teachers were hard at work during the in-service. Crisis. I guess we touched on that at the beginning of your report, Erica. But policy, I think
we met on Friday.
Okay.
Yep.
And we're meeting on the 14th of December.
Yeah.
And we welcome Mara to our wonderful policy committee.
And Amy, she was there the other day too. That one.
Good.
The lunch one.
The lunch.
Okay. Wellness and facilities.
We haven't met.
Okay. And legislators probably kind of quiet at this point. Okay.
Well, not quiet tonight. No. I mean, as you're watching
true.
Election results, that might shape what it looks like in January. So
quiet until the end of this evening. Yeah. Okay. We have a special recognition, I believe.
Yeah. We did want to recognize Mr. Dormer as the Region 5 director. He kind of alluded to it, but it is a really nice leadership recognition, I think, and it's one of those things where you kind of feel like, oh, I don't really know if I should be the one in charge of something, and then he should be, because now he's becoming one of the senior administrators in Southeast, and so it's nice to have a voice on a state board. I did that for a while, too, as elementary principal, and it's just nice being on our little island here, and then reaching out. So he keeps getting elected, so good job. It's great.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to upcoming dates and meeting announcements. As I mentioned earlier, some of us are headed to the AASB 63rd WOW Annual Conference up in Anchorage, getting some training and to be better board members. It's really informative in the past, and I think we're all anticipating the same thing this year. Board vacancy letters are due by the 10th. Veterans Day school-wide assembly is on Friday at 9:30 on November 11th. We have a scheduled board work session, the November 18th at 8:30 in the morning in the district office. The 21st is the Chasing the Dragon video and discussion in the Wright Auditorium at 10:30 a.m. It is targeted for grades 7 through 12, and parents, as well as anyone listening, if you didn't get to see it last time, you're welcome to attend. November 21st and 22nd, we have the late conferences and after school for both elementary, middle school, and high school. No school on the 23rd, district-wide. And then we're already into December for Campus Connections and our next board meeting. So,
is the 23rd a Wednesday, right? Are we having school on the 24th?
No,
Wednesday?
We're also on
the break. We're off on the
24th. Just checking.
So actually, no, I guess it would be Wednesday when we normally had, the elementary would still No, we were usually out on the 23rd, too.
Out.
Yeah, it was the teachers
just
that were still working.
Just the teachers, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of Thanksgiving week. No school. Okay, moving on. December 13th is our next board meeting, and anybody want to volunteer for Campus Connections now?
Nope, I will not be here. I'll be here for the board meeting at night, but I won't be.
Okay. I guess it'll be
afternoon.
Me, and
I'll think about it.
We'll think about it, Cheryl. Okay.
Or new board member.
Maybe a new board member.
If we have, yeah.
You don't want to do that to them right away.
Angela,
Angela's really
today
nice.
Was great. No grilling.
Oh. It wasn't me today, was it?
It was.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Sorry. Did make it in the phone, then it didn't happen. Sorry about that. I won't forget next month, I promise.
Just fine.
Okay. Next audit presentation. I guess we're just about there, aren't we? District's accounting firm is going to get on the phone and talk to us about our 2016 audit.
So many things prior. Go ahead. You can go ahead.
BDO, Vicky stressed the, if I said that correctly, he has been actually working with the district for a number of years. I've worked with him for the last 5 years, the last five audits that we've had, and he said the financials today, where it was a little tight, sorry about that to you guys, and then he sent a PowerPoint, which I did share with you guys via email. And
yeah, I was
going
to
see
are we
have it up here on the screen.
Okay.
He's going to do our
Okay. Before we start moving our chairs too much, I think the order of things is I'll make a motion to approve the 2016 school district audit conducted by BDO.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. And now this will be the discussion period where he goes through it.
That works for you?
Sorry, it's a little out of order.
Okay,
we'll
get you on and we'll see if we can hear you. Okay, hold on.
Sounds good.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm going to turn you up here and try to move it so everybody can hear. Sort of. You guys may want to be closer so you can actually hear the... Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me too?
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
It's okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay, and we do have your PowerPoint up on the screen, and... We'll let Karen and Vicky take it away.
All right. So everybody has the financial statements too?
Yes.
Yep.
Either electronically or paper.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to start off by thanking the district over there. We came for the audit back in beginning of August, and now we're almost ready to print the financials, and everybody was really helpful, and we got all the information we needed. So back to the financial statements. So it's not final yet, but we are really close. I think Karen still needs to do one final review, and then I need to run the financials to a couple of reviews. But then probably end of this week or beginning of next week, we should be close to printing. So, but the draft that you have right now in front of you is really close. And so there shouldn't be too many changes from the financials I'm presenting right now. And really, the numbers shouldn't really change. So. Anyway, so the financial statements, so you do have the draft with you, and then I have the PowerPoint, so the financial statements itself is 100 pages long, and then so we use this PowerPoint to present the financials so that we just hit the highlights and the big items that happened this year. Any questions so far?
Okay. And so will you tell me when you want me to click through it?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that. So first of all, for this year's audit, there's no new accounting pronouncements or anything that was applied. As I'll let you know later, in a couple of years, there's going to be an additional new GASB that's going to affect the financials a little bit. It's related to adding more pension information on the financials. So, but we'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. But anyways, so financials itself, so Karen, if you go to the first independent auditor's report slide, and this is on page 1, 2, and 3 of the financial statements. The financials are not final, but we are not expecting any issues. So we did audit the financial statement of the governmental activities, major fund, and the remaining fund information of Petersburg School District. We are expecting to give you unmodified opinion. So in here, it's going to say we review the financial statements presents fairly in all material respects. So really one thing to realize here is when we audit, we don't audit to every minute detail. We have a materiality that's set, and then we audit to that number. So, and then at this point, I should also point out that out of these 100-page financial statements, there's probably around, what, about 10 pages in here that we as auditors own. The rest of the information in the financials are management's representation. So the good news is a clean opinion, unmodified opinion for the year. So the next statement I'm going to talk about is on the financials on page 6, but then this is the next slide. It's the statement of net position. So on this whole financial statement, there are two statements, the statement of net position and the statement of activities that follows it. Those are what's called a full accrual level of accounting. The rest of the financial statements are on the modified accrual. So the difference being the modified accrual financials is what you use for your budgeting and how you run your school district during the year. And that does not present your long-term assets and liabilities. So E1 and E2, the first page 6 and 7 of the financial statements, are on a full accrual, and that's where our for-profit entity or a non-profit entity would report their financial statements, and these have the long-term assets and liabilities. So the statement of net position has your assets, your deferred outflow of resources, your liabilities, your deferred inflow of resources, and your net position. So assets and deferred outflows are what you own, basically. Your liabilities and deferred inflows are what you owe, and the difference between that is your net position. So your total assets and deferred outflow for the year was $4.5 million. And one thing to note is the deferred outflow of resources, deferred inflow of resources, and the pension liabilities are all information that the state of Alaska basically provides to you guys. So there's actually an audited report that comes out from the Division of Retirement. And then you can actually find it on their website. And it shows the liabilities for all of the school districts and cities and other state agencies. So the information that's presented here is the employer portion of what they expect Petersburg School District to pay through the whole time for pension-related expenses. So the difference between this financials in the back over here and the other financials in the back is the long-term assets and liabilities. So I just point out the long-term assets. So your long-term assets is your capital assets, which is about $492,000. Your deferred outflow related to pension, which is $1.1 million. And the big item here is your net pension liabilities, which is about $5.3 million. And as a result of bringing in the pension liability, you end up with a negative net position at the end of the year of $908,000. So as I was saying earlier, 2008, right now the pension liability only includes the pension portion. It does not include the other post-retirement benefits, which is mostly the healthcare cost. So in 2018, that has to be presented in the financials too. So just keep that in mind that your negative net position is going to go even more negative in 2018. But these are just numbers the state gives you, and then as far as how much you pay into the retirement plan, you pay 22% for PERS and about 12.56% for TERS, and that's the contractually required rate right now. So unless things change, it's really you'll just be paying that over the time. the statement of net position, I go to page 8 of the financial statements. So unlike the statement net position I presented before, this is the balance sheet, and this one has your assets, the liabilities, and the difference between the assets and liabilities, that's your fund balance, and it shows the information by your major funds. And this does not have your long-term assets and liabilities, but this is, these statements over here is what you budget based on, and all of your activities during the year in the in your trial balance run through. So the three major funds we are showing are your general fund, your capital project fund, and the rest of your special revenue funds. And the total assets at the end of June 30, 2016 was $3.1 million. Most of the assets was in cash, $2.5 million. $1.1 million of the asset was in the general fund, and $1.5 million was in the capital project fund. At the end of the year, the fund balances in all your funds was $2.9 million, and majority of which were in the general fund and capital projects. So general fund of $1,050,000 and the capital project of about $1.5 million. Any questions so far?
No questions.
All right. Following that, page 10 of the financial statements over here shows your statement of revenue expenditures and changes in fund balance. This is what you'd also be referred to as an income statement in a for-profit or a non-profit world. Unlike the balance sheet just shows your activity, your balances on June 30th of 2016. So it really shows your balances on one day of time, your asset liabilities. This statement shows your activity for the whole year. So same as the balance sheet, those are three funds presented here. And this one shows your revenue, your expenditures, your difference between your revenue and expenses, and transfers that you have between the funds, and then your change in fund balance. So this year you had revenue of a little bit over $10 million. Majority of the revenue was in the general fund of $8.8 million. Your special revenue funds, which are mostly your state and federal grants, was $951,000. And as you can see, most of your revenue either comes from the borough appropriation and state grants, and then federal grants of $500,000. So out of the $10.5 million, like over $10 million is from federal, state sources, or from borough. So your revenue was $10.5 million, expenditures of $9.9 million for a total. Your revenues exceeded your expenses by $132,000 for the entire government. But then for the general fund, your revenues exceeded expenditures by $425,000. We'll talk about transfers on the next slide. So at the end of the year on the general fund, you actually, the change in fund balance was negative $274,000, but most of that was as a result of the transfer. So the next slide shows the transfers that were made from the general fund in 2016. As you can see, $70,000 went to student transportation, $50,000 to food service, and then $580,000 to capital projects. And there's a little more breakdown on what projects are set up, where the transfers were made, later on in the slide. After that, I'm going to skip a few pages. Following this, there is a lot more information. Those are the notes to the financial statements. These are required by generally accepted accounting principles. And over here, you'll find all your accounting policies, and then further details about some of the information in the financial statement. And just to point out, there is a large part of the notes that's dedicated to pension. So there is a lot of requirements as to presentation regarding pension in there. And then I would also point to page 29, and this one page 29, I don't have this in the slides, but on the financials itself, page 29 has the new accounting pronouncements. So that shows what's coming up in the future. And like I said, the biggest thing over there is the other post-retirement benefits that will be coming into your statements in 2018. And so the other point to make over there is the pension stuff is beyond your control. Everything is handled at the state in the retirement division. They just provide you the numbers. All right, so following that, we're going to go to page 32 of the financial statements. This is your schedule of revenue, expenditures, and changes in fund balance, budget, and actual for the general fund. Most of the financials over here, we do show budget and actual and variances from budget based on the final budget for most of all the funds. But for the general fund, we also show the original and final budget. So over here, you can kind of see how the original budget that was set in the beginning of the school year, the actual compared to that. So you can see that you guys budgeted $8.3 million of revenue for the general fund, and you actually had $460,000 higher revenue for $8.8 million. Your expenditures was really close to what you budgeted, about $24,000 higher, and your excess of revenue over your expenditure was $425,000 as opposed to $10,000 loss that you're planning. So overall, the budget and actual, especially for expenditure, was really close to the original number. So this information on this slide, number page 32, is at the functional level. So it's at the instructional, the special education instructional level. The next few pages, I'm going to skip a few of these pages, but 42 to 43 gives you more information on the general fund revenue and expenditures at a higher, at a more detailed level than that. So over here, you can see how much your certificated salaries, your non-certificate salaries, your employee benefits, or staff travel, whatever other expenses. So it shows that more in detail in those pages. So following that, I am going to go to the combining schedules on page 44 for all your special revenue funds. So these are the school district sets up separate funds for most of the grants that you receive from federal and state sources, other than the foundation grant, foundation funding that you receive from the state. And these are all accounted for in separate funds. And over here, you'll see the balance sheet and the statement of revenue, expenditure, and changes in fund balances for each and every funds out there. Most of the time, your funds, your revenue and expenses equal each other because the granting agency provides the grant and you just spend the exact amount of the grants and then you go on to the next year, then you get a grant again. But then there are certain funds out here where the revenue and expenses don't equal each other, so you have you're carrying fund balances in some of those funds. So I just wanted to highlight some of those during this presentation. So on page 44, you can see that student transportation now will end up with $132,000 of fund balance, and food service will end up with $174,000 of fund balance. And the next slide, 45, has your other fund balances, and these are all your fund balances in the in your scholarship funds. And then the next slide over, page 46 of the financials, shows the revenue and the expenditures and the change in fund balance for special revenue funds. And like I did earlier, I just wanted to point out some of the funds where you actually, your revenues didn't match your expenses. So the two that I wanted to highlight was the student transportation for FY16 expenditures were $14,000 higher than the revenue. And for food service, expenditures were $31,000 higher than the revenue. And then you did transfer in money from the general fund, $70,000 and $50,000. So you end up with positive fund balances for them for the future. And you, as you'll see in the slides later, especially food service has always been, the expenditure has always been higher than revenue. Student transportation, it has gone up and down as the years have gone on. Any questions so far?
No questions.
All right. Next page, I'll just, this one, same thing. Like over here, you'll see most of your scholarship funds, but there's not huge differences to point out. So. Following that, page 48 to 70 shows more details of budget and actuals for the individual funds. These are mostly required for presentation by Department of Education, but over there you'll see more details at the object level, like certificated salaries or employee benefits, staff travel, equipment purchases, or whatever those kind of things. At that detail, you'll see it in the budget to actual presentation in the back there. Following that, I'm going to skip over to page 71 of the financial statements. And I forgot to look at last year, but there's a big difference between last year and this year in the capital projects funds. You guys did set up a lot of capital project funds now, and so most of the fund balances in these capital project funds right now are all from transfers that were made for the capital projects this year. And you can see that a little bit better on the next page, on page 72. So for the current year, the transfers shows up on page 72. The ADA fund had $115,000. The VOIP phone system has $100,000. So total of all of these transfers for all of these capital projects that the school district is planning and doing was $580,000. And this is where most of your fund balance is now sitting, so $1.5 million. Following that, I'm going to skip the next slide. And then towards the back of this statement, L1 schedule shows all your state funding. One big difference this year from last year's financials is you didn't meet the threshold for a federal single audit. So this year we didn't. The federal schedule is not presented. So usually every year in the financial statements there are two schedules that shows all of the amounts that you receive from federal sources and all of the amounts that you receive from state sources. Now that the single audit for federal programs is not required, there's only the schedule for the state of Alaska. So the reason for you dropping out of the federal single audit is because they raised the threshold for single audit from $500,000 to $750,000. And the school district, I think, approximately a little bit lower than $600,000 in federal grants. So as long as you don't hit the 750, then you won't have a federal single audit in the next few years. And then the state schedules are our compliance report, and the main thing you guys need to note on here is we didn't have any findings. So we're not presenting any findings for current year. So that's a big congrats to the whole accounting department and the administration there. Following that slide, now we just have some trend information for the last 10 years for the different line items in your financial statements. The first slide over here shows your assets. Your assets was about $2 million in 2006, and now it's at $3.1 million. That big spike in 2014 was because you had some unearned revenue for a capital project that you received some funding from the granting agency in advance. So that's why it looks a little bit weird there. But so it's been trending up a little bit if you take that off. Next one, fund balance. In 2006, you had $1 million. Now you're at $2.9 million. Trending up. Total revenues, these depend on what kind of grants you get every year. $6.8 million in 2006. Now you're at $9.4 million. And the total revenue here is one thing to note over here. We are excluding percenters on behalf. So the state of Alaska always deposits some money into your retirement funds without passing any money to you. So it goes, they directly do that, and then they provide the school district with the information. So then our revenue and expenses is booked for the same amount. So it's kind of, that number changes from year to year. Like last year, that number was really huge. So it distorts the numbers over here. So we exclude that in this presentation. And the next page, same thing, total expenditures, similar to revenue. It goes up and down, similar to revenue. And $7 million in 2006, now you're at $9.3 million. Next one is the general fund revenue. This is the majority of your revenue. And you can see the trend going up, $5.9 million in 2006. And it's actually $8.2 million now, but over the last 4 years, it's been pretty similar. General fund expenditures following the revenue, same way, $6.1 in 2006. Now you're at $7.8 million. General fund balance is the next slide. 2016, you're at $1,050,000. Slide following that, general fund change in fund balance. This year you have a negative, but that's because funds were transferred from the general fund to mostly to capital projects. The next important slide over here is your fund balance. The state of Alaska does not allow you to carry more than 10% of your fund balance as a percentage of your expenditures in the general fund. If you were to exceed that amount, you're supposed to pay that money back to the state. So at the end of the year, you are at 9.6%. And then there's a couple more slides on food service and student transportation where we're comparing revenue to expenses. So if you can see the food service, the expenses and revenue were pretty close 2006 through 2008 or so, but since then you can see the expenditures has been higher than the revenue, except for 2014. For some reason, the revenue was higher that year. transportation, the revenue and expenses normally stay pretty close. For this year, the expenses were higher than the revenue. And the next slide, we just talked about this, no findings. State funding was about $7.3 million. And that's the end of the slide, and that's all I have as far as the presentation for today, unless you guys have any questions.
Should give Karen a round
of applause.
Yes. Does the board have any questions for Vicki or Karen? Do you have any
questions?
Yeah. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
Oh, thank you. And I forgot to introduce myself in the beginning, by the way, so I'm going to do it backwards. I'm going to do it at the end. So my name is Vicki Shrestha, and I'm the senior manager on the job. But I've been running the job for a while now. It's probably been like 6, 7, maybe even 8 years. So.
I did introduce you, and I did say you've been with the district for quite a while. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well.
Thank you so
guys have a good night. It's a long, long day, long night for you here. Long day so far.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you staying up with us as well.
All right.
Thank you.
Just have a good night. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Good night.
Bye.
That's pretty informative. So a motion's been made and seconded to approve the 2016 school district audit conducted by BDO. Are there any questions or concerns? If there aren't any, we'll go ahead and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next, we have the Director of Maintenance, Dan Tate, will present information and be available for any of our questions regarding the replacement of the Voc Ed building dry valve. So I'll make a motion to approve the replacement of the vocational education building's dry valve at a cost of not to exceed $15,000 from capital funds. Can I have a second?
Second it.
Motion's been made and seconded, and now we'll have some discussion first. Maybe Dan, if you can kind of go over it with us.
Well, I believe the report that I provided to your board packet pretty much explains where we're at. the timeline for this particular component of the project has been moved up. Fire Marshal Weldy would like us to do the dry valve as soon as possible. He's not as concerned about the pipes, even though they look a lot worse. And they said that could be deferred as long as we keep it a maintenance priority. And it sounds like the summertime will be fine for that particular component of that project. So we'll set the pipes aside for the moment. Getting back to the dry valve, I have started the process of soliciting new quotes, but we do have one in to kind of judge where we're at. So therefore, the maintenance department is respectfully requesting $15,000 to be moved from capital into this project so we can get it moved and hopefully done over the holiday season or shortly thereafter.
So we're estimating the total cost to be 15, or we're just asking for 15,000 from the capital funds, and then the total cost might still be more, but it'll come out of the maintenance budget.
At this
budget.
Point, it should not be more than 15,000. That's why I've chosen that amount.
No. Anybody
what,
else?
Sorry, excuse my ignorance, but what's a dry valve for the sprinkler system? That's. Mm-hmm.
If you recall the photos that were projected last board meeting, that was that large structure of pipes. Basically, it separates the water pressure from an air flapper valve. So whenever a head detects, a spray head detects that there's a fire, it opens up, it releases the air, and then it opens up a valve in that riser, and it allows all the water to rush to wherever it's needed.
Like in TV movies, when they hit one, it won't. Water doesn't come out of it.
Right.
Oh. Okay. Does anybody else have any additional questions? I don't have any. I think it's probably something that needs, you know, like I said.
Well, I'm pretty sure the fire marshal.
Yeah, we need to take his lead on this one.
Do it.
Yeah, we need to do it. So, okay. Irene, can you please call the roll?
Yes. Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, just for informational, Superintendent Quint Painter, she's going to provide us an update on the planning discussions with Borough for our 2018 budget, which is still hard to believe. So.
I know. And actually, please weigh in, Sarah, and Karen, if she's still here. I can see her around the thing, but anyway, that just that we've been talking with Borough Manager Steve Giesbrecht, starting really last year during the budget season, but just trying to keep conversations going on a more regular basis, I think, as we're moving through kind of the insanity of state budgets right now, and just trying to get information and share information with each organization, including the hospital, in these discussions. Just to be talking about what things might be coming down the road for us, specifically for us thinking about secure rural funds, that's would be a huge hit to us directly. Although our borough and city before that has done a good job of setting aside some of those funds over the years, so we do have a nice buffer. But if this truly is the last year for those funds, we need to have an actual plan, you know, for what that might look like down the road.
And then also just to have, we met last week, I guess it was last week, we did meet Sarah and Karen and I and borough manager and Jody Tao, and then Liz Woodward from the hospital, board member from the hospital there, and their CFO, and just to kind of have that broader conversation about what things might be coming down that could impact us, not necessarily directly, but they will impact us. If we're talking about community revenue sharing or some of these other things, they all trickle down, because if the borough loses funding for certain things, then they're looking for other places to figure out how to provide funding for jails and, you know, roads and all the other things that make our community a place that we want to live, libraries and parks and rec and, you know, services. So just continuing, I think, to have those conversations within our own each separate entity, but also to kind of talk about the overall health of our community, what kinds of things people prioritize, what kinds of things people place value on, and how we want to work together to fund the place that we live, mm-hmm. including clearly our schools are our first priority, but you know, it's an overall quality of life kind of conversation that I think we're trying to have on a larger scale. So I think that's...
Yeah, there's would have been a borough member there as well, but he wasn't a council member, but he wasn't able to attend. But I think also some of that seemed, for me at least, was pretty educational, because not really understanding how the school district funded itself until I was on the board, and not really, you know, I get in my own little island of not paying attention, my expectation of someone else being able to take care of it, like the borough taking care of their funding, but realizing that we really are that connected, but also just them educating us as a small group and us educating them on how, what restrictions we have on our own funding and what we can and can't do. And for them to say this, you know, just explain some things that didn't even know, had no idea as a resident
right,
here.
Right, some
you
exemptions
know,
and things.
Some exemptions that exist that I didn't even know about. That, you know, just those kind of things. It was educational in addition to just trying to all get on the same page so we all know where kind of goals are.
And I think just knowing that as things do get tighter and tighter, that I think we want to be really careful about things getting divisive and, you know, sort of pitting, you know, groups
right.
against each other. I think we want to continue to have
a team
a productive working relationship with all the entities in the community, and we do have that, and I think we want to continue, and we have high trust,
right.
I feel. So anyway, I think just wanting to be proactive on that and have conversations ahead of time so we don't end up in a situation where, you know, maybe like we are in our general election in our country, a lot of distrust and that sort of thing, and a lot of questions, so... I think just trying to work together, keep working together on that. Karen, did you have anything to add?
No, I think that you guys pretty much covered it.
Okay, and that we are going to continue those conversations.
Yeah, we picked our next meeting is in
December.
Yeah. Yeah, we did skip into December because of people being gone.
Yes, so I think we have the next meeting in early December. So we're just going to keep having conversations, and we may take a little show on the road around town to different agencies and organizations. That's not my... necessarily, but we're thinking about doing it. So, I mean, just from the educational perspective, because sometimes people don't, like Sarah was saying, there are things I haven't known about borough finances, and people have come in and asked questions about the school district finances. There's things about the hospital that I knew nothing about. You know, so I think just trying to have more conversations, reaching out so that maybe there's good information out there for people. People can ask questions. That's what I know about that.
Yeah, that's what we're already started on. So, next, you're going to give us an update on the state assessments.
Did Bridget go home?
No.
This is cracking me up. I can't see anybody. But
I know.
Like, hello. Hi, Bridget.
Hello. So,
a couple weeks ago, I was one of about 24 people from around the state that met in Anchorage, and we got to meet with Margaret McKinnon, the Director of Assessments, and Commissioner Johnson, and we discussed 5 different proposals that the state has received, or RFI's,
Request for Information,
from five different vendors for our upcoming state assessment, spring assessment. So we were able to review those and work together as a group and give feedback. Spent about 5 hours together doing that. We did some homework before we got there, reading the proposals. I think what came from that was that there are a couple of good options out there. And by December 1st, we should know what the department is going to, which group they're going to award the contract to. And I think we're going to move forward. And so they also, Commissioner Johnson also discussed the purpose of this summit of assessment, which is just it's a very thin layer assessment that is a shorter assessment than possibly we've done in the past. It's not really an assessment that we want to put a lot of weight on as far as instructional feedback. That's not the purpose of it. And so we're kind of trying to get that message out there that those kinds of assessments we're going to do more in-house, which we do already. And we're also kind of revisiting those assessments we do to try to maybe have those more continuous throughout the schools, elementary, middle, and high school, possibly a similar, maybe the same company. You know, right now we do a variety of assessments in the elementary school and some in the middle school and a few in the high school, but we want to, I think, get more streamlined there. So we're working on that. That's different than the summative, which is the spring assessment. So there are different purposes. I may have just confused you more than enlightened you.
No, I think that's okay. It. I mean, I think I think that was a big part of with the AMP testing. They were trying to really almost have the sort of all-inclusive, you know, assessment that was going to really be geared to each, you know, student. And I think that, again, I think that the thinking behind it was not bad at all, but it didn't work. And it was too cumbersome, and it didn't, you know, even for our district with our technology, was fraught with issues. So I think just kind of pulling back on that and trying to come up with, you know, talking about what the assessment is and what it isn't. It's meant to be something that's a one-time assessment of students, and it can be comparable then across the state or even nationally, but that if we're trying to show growth or use to figure out what to do to actually adjust instruction for kids, we need to have different assessments for that.
No.
And we need to do that within our own school. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of good ones out there that lots of districts actually already use that we're looking at. So that's kind of where we are.
Yeah.
And do you have to go back again?
I'm not sure. That remains to be seen.
Okay.
Once we choose the assessment on December 1st, I'm assuming that...
Okay. Then we have to figure out how to do it.
We have to figure out how to do it, mm-hmm. right? Because we'll have a couple of months to figure all that out, which, yeah. you know, in the past it's taken about 17 months. So it's going to be quite a...
That's nerve-wracking too, a rushed job.
Yeah, so we'll
see
how it all unfolds. Yeah, there's a lot to be done, and the department has shrunk, too.
Fewer and fewer people up there doing more and more jobs, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So,
stay
tuned.
Okay.
We'll probably hear lots more about it, I'm sure, this weekend.
Yeah.
About assistance.
Especially now that it sounds like they whittled it down to a few options, a few choices.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bridget. Okay. Any additional comments from board members?
I just wanted to say I noticed we all received new nameplates, another awesome project that came out of the high school shop, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And just keep it, not Comic Sans. And just for the public, if you didn't tune in to the last meeting where we met at the shop, there are a lot of possible community partnerships going on with the shop. So if you need something done or you're looking for something specialty like engraving or tile drawing or a number of things, mm-hmm. don't forget to ask Dave first before you look somewhere out of our city.
Yes, and come schedule a time to just check out what's going on.
That's
out there.
Amazing.
It's pretty it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Easy. Okay, future agenda items? Nothing? Okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn then.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion passes 4-0. Good night.
Thank you.
I think so.